Okay, do we have that alarm sound? Here we go. Go for it. How obnoxious is that? I'm so grateful to my son who helped me download that. I was trying my hardest to find it on my phone, and my alarm ringtones only seemed to give me something with like retro disco funk that made me want to like moonwalk out of bed. It wasn't nearly as aggressive and mean as that. But I don't know what happens when you hear that sound. Generally, it means that it's time. It's time to wake up. How do you feel when you hear the words, it's time? Someone was chatting with me yesterday and they said, oh, when I hear that, I feel quite nervous. It makes me a little bit uneasy and nervous. So I said, okay, that's interesting. For me personally, it excites me. What is it time for? There's an initiation of action, a mandate, something to happen. So this is going to be a highly prophetic message. I heard a preach from Harvest Church, Turlock, California, a couple of weeks ago, and the guy that was talking said, this is a prophetic message, but it's really something I felt like I need to get off my chest, off my heart, and out of my mind to share with you. And I kind of feel pretty much the same about this. But despite it being a personal message, it's not a me thing. I really believe it's an us thing. It's pertinent for us corporately and as a community. Also, I feel like I'm doing it in a sense out of obedience to what I feel the Lord is saying and a response to his leading. I was chatting to someone the other day and just telling them that, you know, I'd heard there was this thing that I felt like the Lord had unlocked and just revealed. And they said, I'm sure we'll hear about it in due time. And as they said that, I felt that that was just the nudge and the nod from the Father and just giving me the thumbs up. So in the beginning of September, there was something that happened that was just confirmed and affirmed and echoed and resounded. Now, when we come to confirmations, we know that if the Lord speaks about something, we're not going to sit there and say, well, I'd like you to confirm it and confirm it and confirm it. Sometimes we just got to be obedient. But sometimes in his wonder, his kindness, his grace, and his beautiful heart, he does confirm things for us just to really let us know that that is what he is saying. So that's how I feel that this came across with this very message. I'm going to paint a bit of a backdrop to it as to how I got to this point of it's time. And in saying this, I trust that you would be exposed and enlightened. Maybe you see it already, but to seeing how the Lord speaks. He's saying stuff all the time, guiding us, comforting us, leading us, directing us with things that are around us. And if we just read between the lines, we can hear the whispers of heaven as he is so beautifully partnering with us in this life. He never makes us do it all by ourselves. So in saying that, I'm trusting that something would be unlocked in you. Earlier this year, I was invited to City Hill Church in Toti to a ladies' event, and I shared a bit of a prophetic message of how the Lord speaks. I was amazed at how many Facebook inbox messages I got and WhatsApps and people telling me their testimonies, getting photos of trucks and numbers that they'd seen, astonished because they'd never seen it before. And suddenly the Lord was speaking through all sorts of things around them. I want to say, in terms of number sequences, there are not angel numbers. If you keep seeing certain numbers on repeat, you look at the clock every night at 22:22 or 11:11, go and find a scripture for it. Then you'll find a promise in there, and that's something that you can hold on to. It's not an angel number or anything airy-fairy. The Lord is maybe prompting you and speaking to you so that you can understand something. Go find it in scripture. You know, he gives us clues. In Daniel 2, verse 22, it says that he reveals the deep and the hidden things. Why? because he loves us, because he wants to create a dialogue with us so that we can understand him and walk with him and talk with him through this life as he so intended with Adam and Eve. So on the 3rd of September, 2024, this month ago, I was sitting on the couch. It was a Tuesday, and I just felt the words. I'd say this has probably happened about 10 or 15 times in my journey with the Lord over the past 23 years. And I just felt the words, it's time. I didn't hear it. I just felt it. You know when you know when you know. And it just dropped deep. And wow, what is that? I wonder what it's time for, Lord. While I was sitting on the couch, I looked next to me, and there was this pouch. Tanya McKinley, she came and she shared. She's been here before. We love her ministry. She's overseas at the moment, traveling. We've sent funds across the seas to be with her, to release her into that and partner with her with that. So she'd given this to me as a gift a little while ago, and I picked it up to look at it, and it said, he has made everything beautiful in its time. So now I'm looking at the words that I've literally just felt. So that's from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. So I was amazed. I thought that was just incredible. So I was like, wow, it was a little confirmation. When you start to see these things, friends, you can't unsee them. When you know, you know. And they become real and they become tangible. And you suddenly see them as gifts, whispers from the Father. So that night, we're sitting there. We were on part 4 of the Fueled series. We'd already watched the video the 3 previous weeks. And suddenly, I saw something that I had never seen before. Take a look at this. Those words, it's time, I'd never noticed them before. I was sitting on the couch with the TV over here. It literally jumped off the screen and it hit me on the forehead. I was amazed. I couldn't believe it. That was the 3rd time in that day. Now, in saying that, I don't operate in threes, okay? So Jesus is the 3-in-1 and he does amazing things. But I'm certainly not going to stub my toe, cut my finger, and then stand around waiting for my 3rd injury. I don't operate like that. He's got plans to prosper me, not to harm me. So I'm just squashing that kind of concept that some people live by. So that was that. Then on the Thursday, I think God gave me a break on the Wednesday because there was so much. On the Thursday, I was at the shops and I got the receipt of something I just paid for, and it was 414 rand. Immediately, I thought about Esther 4:14. This is what it reads. And who knows but that you have come into your royal position for such a time as this. Friends, you have come into your royal position for such a time as this. You are not in this hall for no reason. There is a reason and a mandate because of your royal position and the part that you play in this world. Just yesterday, someone messaged me saying that they were praying for me and thinking about the preach and mentioned the scripture, Esther 4:14, after I'd already got it in my notes. That day for us, there was a fulfillment of a long-awaited prayer in terms of a family member and their faith walk, which was profound for us. On the Friday, I went on a car trip. In that one car trip, I drove past a huge lorry which had the word Time Freight across it. Then I saw another truck with the word Kronos, and in the O was a little clock. What does Kronos mean? It means a measure of quantitative time or an exact time. In that car ride, someone sent me a testimony and then added this into their voice notes, which I thought was so pertinent to share because it's got to do with timing. And I believe that this is going to be relevant to not just one person, but listen to this. The delay will work in your favor. Never ever have a grudge, hate, or be angry if there is a delay in your process, because it just means that your miracle will be that much bigger. So I don't know who needs to receive that, who's in a season of delay. Waiting time is not wasted time. But friends, I'm telling you, today, it's time. That night, I was composing and compiling these undeniable things that the Lord had said. Why? Because I want to receive them as gifts. I want to cherish them. I want to value them. Because what you believe, you will receive. And I want to hold on to these things as whispers from heaven. The Lord speaking. While I was looking at these things and just gathering this flow of things, the Lord reminded me of a dream that Jyothi had had in 2021. We were standing here in this hall, and she said that she dreamt, as we were talking, her and I, in her dream, that Jesus walked over to her and said, "Tell Mary, it's time." I hadn't thought about that or remembered it until that Friday night, and it just, I'm going to unpack something about Mary just now. On the Monday, I parked next to a car that had the word kairos on it. Kairos means the right or critical moment. Friends, when you see it, you can't unsee it. You will understand. When you know, you know. Other prophetic words and written things of saying, it's time, it's your time. I saw a myriad of them on Facebook. They're too long to go into. Words from Lana Vorza. But 2 weeks ago, it was just almost like the Lord was confirming and confirming. The month planner came out, and this preach was obviously scheduled on for today's date. The kids' ministry teachers wouldn't have known about it. And I was chatting to Shelen, and I saw in her hand the kids' ministry craft that she was going to be doing for the next week, which happened to be last week. She so kindly let me have one for my journal, and look what it was, a clock. They didn't know that we were going to be putting out a preach called It's Time. And this is what they had. And that's mums and dads, you would have had that beautiful craft. And please appreciate those kids' ministry teachers. My goodness me, they deposit from their hearts. We honor them and we love and we value our kids' ministry teachers. They're amazing. So all of these things, even seeing this, was almost like a smile, a wink in the most reverent way, a thumbs up, and a nod from heaven as the Lord just unpacked this. So I'm going to do an acronym of the word time. T, take stock. So sometimes when we go, well, it's time, sometimes we have to take stock of where we're actually at. I don't know about you, but those of you who joined us in the Fueled series, that for me was a game changer. There was some seriously deep personal internal assessment that took place. Please don't tell me I was the only one. Was there anyone else? One person. Thanks, Dirk. But it was amazing. And in terms of taking stock, it really caused us to pay attention to how we were living. And at the end, I'm going to mention a few things, and perhaps some of them will resonate with you and cause or elicit you to take stock in order to make a change. T, take stock. Intimacy. Take time to make time. Like this kids' ministry clock says, make time for Jesus. This is what the kids are being taught. Sometimes us adults need to be reminded. What happens when there's intimacy is that it leads to intentionality. When we have intimacy with the Father, He lays on our heart what's on His heart. And we get to outwork that into the world around us. You'll see in your marriage, if you don't have intentionality, you're going to struggle with intimacy. When there's intimacy, you'll find there's intentionality. Even if you take her for a coffee, just so you can look into her eyes across the table. Intentionality and intimacy go hand in hand. M, multiplication, increase. He wants to increase you. He wants to increase us, friends, for the sake of our sphere of influence, our reach, our capacity, our ability. He doesn't want to just increase us numerically, okay, just for the sake of numbers, but he wants to increase us so that we would be big people. Why is this, friends? So that our reach of his love can be extended and increased to a dead and dying world, a greater impact for his name's sake. Yesterday, we made such a dent in the Love Day. The team that went to Ely Road, they cleaned that place, finished. It was spotless. They had to move along to Finnamore. That wasn't even a part of the plan for the day. And they managed to clear the whole of Finnamore, all the way down to the steps to the beach and up with wobbly legs and everything. Well done, guys. Exponential. E is exponential. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. I want you to repeat after me. I have his power at work within me. You're not insipid, you're not insignificant. You have the same Holy Spirit in you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So practically, friends, how do we outwork this? What is it time for you? I'm going to do a bit of a list. It's going to be kind of like a bit of a shotgun blast. Some of the stuff might resonate with you. I'm hoping there might just be at least one thing that the Lord lays on your heart or prompts. One step that you feel to take that it's time for. I've got a couple of them that hit home, so I've definitely got more than one, okay? But I trust that it would be a catalyst for you going home and doing something about it. And it'll be different for all of us. But who knows that what we do matters? Why? Because it impacts us as individuals and it impacts everybody around us. That's why we want to be self-aware about what we're doing, okay? Jesus paid a high price for us to walk in our destiny, our calling, and our purpose. I don't want to inhibit that. I don't want to hamstring that. If he's got a race marked out for me, I don't want to limp it. I want to run it like Usain Bolt. Who's joining me? See, because what we do matters. What we do in front of our kids matters. They're watching us. We're cutting a path for them. Our spheres of influence, everything that we do reverberates into everything around us, our atmospheres, our workplace. So I'm trusting that as I list these things, it will elicit a desire and a hunger for you, a catalyst to saying it's time to change. You see, he's our Father, so he partners with us and he would implore us to do particular things. Maybe to stop, to start, to restore, to rebuild, pioneer. He's going to say something. The clock that we have at the back there on display, we just decided to synchronize it to the adverts, the clock that was on the adverts. So the time on there said 7:05, so we decided to put up 7:05. So someone messaged me yesterday and said, hey, just wanted to find out, because they know sometimes we like to correlate these type of things. Is there a scripture that matches the time that you've made? You know, because not that we want to read into everything, but we want everything to be pertinent. So that provoked me to go and find a scripture. So I typed in chapter 7, verse 5, scripture. The first one that came up was Jeremiah. I'm going to read this to you. Listen to this. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, job, salary, what are those gods? Could even be your spouse. It will cause harm, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave to your ancestors forever and ever. Isn't that amazing? He's calling us to change, friends. There is something for us. You know, if we're going to go into new territory and take new land and break barriers and break into new grounds, there are some things of the old that we certainly can't drag with us. I couldn't bring the person that I was into 2001. I had to leave some stuff behind. And in this progression of 23 years of walk of faith with the Lord, there have been things that I have had to shed off and leave behind, and there's still more. So he's going to encourage us to change so that we can walk forward and run in everything that he has for us. I feel that there's also an endorsement from heaven. Jeremiah 1, verse 9 to 10 says this, "Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth." He touches your mouth today and says to you, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." There are some things, friends, that we need to be brutal about in our lives, to uproot and let go of, so that we can build and plant into the future for the sake of our own lives, our families, and generations to come. A little bit further, verse 17 of Jeremiah 1 says, and it's the New Living Translation says, "Get up and prepare for action." Friends, it's time. So I'm going to do the list. I'm just going to run through it. Right off the back of Love Has a Name, these are some of the things. Listen to these things and go, maybe this is what it's time for me. So the first week of Love Has a Name, maybe it's time to learn someone's name. The week number two, maybe it's time to let love not just be a theory, but let love be messy. Like I said to Grant, I'm not going to make him eat a burger on stage. I'm not going to make him eat a cake. Nothing. He's hosting baptisms at his house today. We'll just let him off the hook. And the third week, last week, what Andrew shared, maybe it's time to love extravagantly. Jesus or someone around us. Maybe even to love our spouse more extravagantly. Our children. Or even maybe that coworker that sometimes just rubs us up the wrong way every single Monday. You know why? You know why we want to love them extravagantly? Because he loves them extravagantly. And he can only love them extravagantly through us. That's why we've maybe been positioned there specifically for them. It was a strategy. It was his plan. That's why you're positioned there. Maybe it's to lavishly love like Mary, like the story that Andrew shared last week of the sinful woman. Mary, Martha's sister, she too, the account of John, extravagantly and lavishly breaks open an alabaster jar and pours it over Jesus' feet and wipes it with her hair. The extravagance of love. You see, there's a Mary in all of us. There's a bit of a Mary inside every single one of us. That's why when Joythe shared the dream, tell Mary, it's time. I believe that it's for all of us. And then again, Mary, Martha's sister, has that opportunity when she's sitting at Jesus' feet and Martha's all disappointed with her. Jesus actually says about that moment, he says, she had chosen that which was better. He says to Martha, Jesus is saying to Martha, that Mary had chosen the only one thing worth being concerned about. That's what the New Living Translation says. She'd chosen the good portion, the good part. Maybe there's an invitation to sit at his feet for you today. Or to be the Mary who, as a virgin girl, took on the shame and the scorn of being impregnated, a divine conception of carrying Jesus, not even knowing that he was going to be the Savior of the world. Maybe that's the invitation today, that it's time for you to say, I want to carry this Jesus to a dead and dying world, and let him be birthed through my life to everyone around me. The Fueled series, taking stock, those challenging things, It's time to look at what we're eating. This is the jar of clay. This is the vessel that's going to carry the gospel for the rest of our lives. Is it time to eat right? Is it time to have better sleep patterns and get more sleep? What strategies? Friends, these are very practical, but the practical impacts the spiritual because the spiritual impacts the practical. And if the practical that I'm doing is going to rob and inhibit my spiritual, then I want to line that up because we're naturally supernatural and supernaturally natural. We want to be the best that we can be for His name's sake so that we can get the gospel out and make the greatest impact. Time is short, friends. Our life is but a breath. Our life is but a breath. I'm going to say this now so I don't forget. But someone came to me after the morning meeting, the previous meeting, and said, maybe we need to speak to that person because we don't know how much time they've got left. Do you know, I've seen people at the shops before far away and I haven't managed to get a chance to talk to them. And a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later, I've heard about them passing away. And I go, Lord, was that a missed opportunity? Should I have just left the cucumber and just made sure that I pursued that person and gone back for it just now? Every moment is an opportunity, friends. How are we moving? Are we moving enough in terms of our bodies, exercise, getting our heart rate up? Are we pacing ourselves, not living at breakneck speed? Are we prioritizing play in our schedule? I want to encourage you, if you've got your book, maybe go back. What he was saying to you back then, maybe you need to revisit. What habit needs to stop? What habit needs to start? There are some good habits out there, you know, like exercising. Exercise is a habit. Is it time to start prioritizing your devotion time? Make time to take time. Make time for Jesus. This is what they did. Or reading your Bible. Grab one of the Old Testament things. And I know we've passed the dates. Just tick the boxes. Just keep it in the front of your Bible. Steve recommended putting different bookmarks, Old Testament, New Testament, and the Psalms. That's why I've got these things. So we can just be in the Word. Is it time to spend more time in the Word so that He can speak to you through that? Is it time for you to start sharing prophetic words for others that are going to be life-giving? Is it time for you to start praying for that person in the queue at the shop who's got that obvious injury, that moon boot on, where you get to pray for them? Is it time for you to actually pay for their groceries because maybe God's put you there for a reason to share the gospel so that you can reveal His generosity? Is it time to trust God by taking up the mandate to start tithing? The testimonies have been profound, and I can tell you now that the people that have taken up this mandate to tithe will tell you that they're better off now than they were beforehand when they weren't tithing. Go figure. Why? Because we work on His economy. Because faith pleases Him. Is it time to get baptized today? Maybe God's been speaking to you about getting baptized. It's not too late. Come chat to Grant afterwards. Is it time to be discipled or to start discipling someone? Next week is going to be a profound. It's even time for that. This is a timely thing of discipleship that we're walking into. We want to encourage you. As an eldership, we've been feeling this pivot. We know it's coming. It's time for this thing of discipleship. Is it time to serve? Is it time to get on the roster? Is it time to find yourself a life group to knit into? Is it time to find a mentor? I want to say well done to those who said, it's time, when they woke up yesterday and came to the Love Day. It was incredible. Is it time to clear that cupboard? Is it time to sort out that pile of paperwork? Is it time to get your taxes up to date? What's God saying to you? See, He's a God of order and a God of peace, not a God of disorder, chaos, or unrest. Maybe He's saying to you, get your house in order. In your marriage, is it time for you to start being kind to your wife and tender? Remember, she's not a bro. Maybe the Lord is imploring you to tenderness. And wives, maybe He's saying it's time for you to honor, revere, respect, and esteem your husband, especially in front of your kids. Is it time to let that grudge go? Is it time to forgive? Is it time to extend grace where it's not deserved? That's going to be challenging, but it's going to be beautiful. That's going to be love, not just being a theory. That's going to be messy, but you're going to be better off for it after the fact. Is it time to pray for your enemy? Is it time to make that phone call or send that WhatsApp? Is it time to release that person? Because I can tell you, the whole time that you have them imprisoned, you're more imprisoned than they are. Release them. Sir, is it time for you to make that girlfriend your wife? What's the Lord saying? I want to invite you to stand with me. Is it time to let go of that addiction and say, Jesus, I want to be addicted to you? Is it time to let go of that crutch and say, that crutch is causing a problem in the rest of my system? You know, a person can only use a crutch for a certain amount of time, because when the healing has come, if they carry on using that crutch, there's going to be a problem. There's going to be an out of line, a lack of synchronicity in the body. It's a time to let that crutch go and say, Jesus, I want to stand on my own. I've been hobbling along for too long. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. So I want to invite you, if that is you, and something perhaps resonated, one thing, even if it was just one thing, I want to invite you as an act of faith, my hands up, if you want to join me by putting your hand up, and I'm just going to ask the Lord, we're just going to pray and say, Lord, just release the confidence and the power over us, Father, to change those things that need to be changed. You are saying, Lord, it's time. Father, we want to repent where you've been saying, it's time. It's time about a particular thing, and we haven't acted on it. We want to repent for saying, sorry, Father, for not being obedient. But today, it's time. We want to let those things go so they don't come with us into our futures, because our destinies are far too wonderful and amazing to have those things come with us. So, Father, I pray even now, Holy Spirit, won't you just release, break things, break supernaturally, break addictions, break crutches. I pray that you would start to shift things in people's hearts of forgiveness, of being able to activate things, even the divine strategies in their minds of how to go about tackling a task that's been tackling them for way too long. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you for that. We honor you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are closer than a brother. You partner with us. You never leave us alone. You journey this thing called life with us every single step of the way. Open our eyes that we would hear you speaking in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well done, babe. That was a great message. I want to say before I say something, I want to say this to all the guys doing the online stuff on the desk here, the Facebook commenting, the OBS, the camera. Where someone get hold of us, this is not the first time, and say, thank you so much for streaming your stuff live. I sometimes can't get there for health reasons, and I'm so grateful that I can jump on live and watch your videos on a Sunday. They are so powerful for her, and she was just raving. And I want to say thank you, guys. Honestly, it might seem like she's a thankless job, but there are people that need it, and people are experiencing grace life and the word of God and the power of God and the grace of God through their TVs and their phones. So well done. Amen. That's why we do it. We've had people watch us from overseas, from England, from Ireland, and in Australia. And where? Anson Lane online today, for a friend of ours in England, watching our online stuff. So that's why we do it. Amen? Thank you, guys. Just that point number one, take stock. Take stock. The Lord wants us to take stock. What is the goal of the Christian life? What is it? It's to be born again, to be saved, and then God just blesses my life. And I come to church on a Sunday, and I like the meeting, and I go home again. The goal of the Christianity is maturity. It said, every one of us walk like mature sons and do what God's called us to do. Amen? To raise up the next generation, to encounter God and to make disciples, and then help people encounter God and make disciples. Amen? And so you listen to that language, you go, gee, Craig, what does that even mean? That's a great question. But the more mature we become, the more we understand what that means. Because the Bible's full of that. Full of that. Amen? So Jesus says in John 15, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Do you know that you've been appointed? Appointed. So if I've been appointed to do something, that means I've been given a mandate by someone, an authority, to go and do something. Best I go and do that. So he says, I've appointed you, Craig, and everyone else, whatever your name is here in this meeting today and online, to go and what? To bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So basically, our mandate as believers is to go and bear fruit, not to come to church on a Sunday. But that's part of the equipping, so that I can go and bear fruit. Actually, Sundays are not the most important. What is important is what I do from Sunday to Sunday as a believer. Amen?